Our holy God and heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior and Redeemer, the author of life in heaven and on earth by the mighty presence and working power of the Holy Spirit in heaven and on earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for having the authority to conquer sin and the authority to forgive sin and to heal and restore from the curses of sin. I pray that you take over our hearts, our mind, and our bodies, our love, our will, our life, our purposes, our families, your church, our neighborhoods, every village, every city, every county, every state, and every country under heaven. Every child, every adult in every home, and every decision maker in every home, in every religious order, in every corporation and business, in every governmental office, from the least to the greatest, in every country and nation under your care. You are the King of all nations, and I pray that your Holy Spirit move upon all people, young and old, rich and poor, to convict them of sin and the violence of sin, and then quickly, O Lord, convict them of righteousness and the blessing of salvation, deliverance, healing, restoration, provision that Jesus Christ our Lord can impart to every hurting, hovering, troubled heart and mind and soul, individual and families. Mm. Lord, I pray for those who are sick. Mm. I pray for Daryl. I pray for William's mom. Mm-hmm. And I pray for all others who are sick in their home, sick in nursing homes, sick in hospitals, those, O Lord, who are sick on the streets without any shelter, those who are sick and bleeding in tents and in camps around the world because of violence, those who are sick hearted because of sin and because of the oppression of Satan, those who are mentally anguished and troubled, those who are socially distressed and financially troubled and distressed, I pray that your Holy Spirit do the work of salvation, the work of reconciliation, the work of healing and restoration upon every heart and mind and soul prayed for, and especially on those who know you, Lord, those who trust you, those who call upon the name of Jesus. May you allow them to experience the wonders of your love and the miracle of faith and trust in you as the one and only creator of the heaven, the earth, the seas, as the savior of the world, the physician and healer, who have the power to speak, it is done, to command all infirmities, and they obey. May they experience the power of your abundance as the provider of every need and every good gift. And may you place upon our heart always to share the gift of life that you have given us with all of those who are lacking in truth, and yet with mercy and compassion in our heart, and most of all, only through your knowledge and wisdom in all decisions, I pray. May you guide us today in your holy knowledge of life, and may you grant us hope and encouragement by your living words of truth. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have shared about how Peter was transformed. He was coward. He was self-centered. His theology was not 100% accurate. Yet down deep in his heart, he really loved Jesus. He admired who he is. He knew there is something different about that man of Galilee. He trusted the teachings of Jesus.
He was very grateful and he was so touched by the miracles Jesus had performed upon the life of many. He really took great pride in being his disciple. He learned a lot from him, but he was still yet weak. And we know that that eventually led to the denial of Christ because he trusted too much in himself, based on some wrong theology. But we see the process of transformation, how when Peter denied Jesus and he felt the anguish and the pain of sin in his heart, that the Bible said he wept bitterly and he repented. Here is the difference, and we have to be very careful. We are sinners, and we will struggle with sin every day. There are two responses to our sins. When we sin, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and we can hide in Jesus Christ, the rock of all ages, the one and only Savior and Redeemer. We can come to him and ask him for constant victory on our behalf, for the transformation and the change of our heart and mind and soul, to ask him to fight our every battle that we fail in and to fight Satan on our behalf. That is one option, and this is the option that Peter has taken. The other option is to give up and to give in to sin and Satan. Only two options. Only two options that are before us. And what is so true and yet so sad, that throughout biblical history, in all the New Testament and in the church today, this has become very real in the Church of Christ. There are those who know how to anchor on Jesus Christ,
yes,
day and night.
Yes.
In want and in plenty. In all the stresses of life.
Yes.
In all decisions of life. In victory and in defeat. They know how to anchor to Jesus.
Yes.
Because they know about the power of prayer.
Yes.
And they know about the power of his living word. And they have experienced that. And there are those who go to church for the action. But really, daily, as they sin and they struggle, they disconnect from the vine. And when we disconnect from the vine, Jesus said we begin to slowly wither. Wither means we dry up inside, in our heart, in our mind. And that takes the joy of life away. And when the joy of life goes away, we resort to many things on this world to see if they can satisfy. And what happens really, the more we go to the world to try to satisfy that longing, the more we fear, we feel withering out. Especially when the effects are over. And that leads many people to internal emotional distress that leads to suppression and depression. And that is the reason why people decide to give up and to give in to sin and Satan. And that's what Judas did. So we have two people who are struggling. One have taken one route and the other have taken another route. And we have known the sad end of Judas. How many times Jesus loved him? How many times Jesus said, Judas, I love you. It doesn't have to be you. I'm going to be crucified anyway. I have to pay the price. I have to pay the ransom for the human race. But I have called you, ordained you, and made you a disciple. There is one thing I can never do for you. I can never choose for you. So Jesus loved them both the same. Because he loved all sinners. And he became our sin bearer.
Yes.
And therefore, as we struggle with all decisions, and especially with our sin, and with sinners, and with Satan, we have powers given to us. The power of prayer. And that's what happened to Peter. He joined 120 others in the upper room. And what did the Bible say they were doing?
Praying.
They were praying for 50 days. And you know, the Bible does not go into explaining how did they feel every day when they pray together. But it is something that you and I have access to and can experience every day.
Yes.
If you go into your own closet, as the Bible said, into your own room, wherever you are, and kneel down and talk to Jesus about everything you feel, that is therapy.
Yes.
And actually, that is the only therapy that I know truly works.
Yes.
It is better to go down and allow the Holy Spirit to take your heart over and groan and intercede on our behalf. You can go ahead and wrestle with God.
Yes.
Tell Him about everything you want, everything you desire, everything you think is unfair, unjust, everything you want, all of your struggles, all of your fears, all of your troubles. And you don't have to pay anyone for that. If you go down on your knees, you will find yourself being released from the curse of sin.
Yes.
That brought about the suppression, the repression, the depression, all of the negative emotion. When the heart begins to heal, the mind begins to heal, and the body begins to heal, and your life begins to heal. And that's what happened to Peter. When he experienced the process of transformation and healing, the Bible said they were praying and remembering the teachings of Jesus and what He told them. So prayer and the Word of God are powers given unto us to live a victorious, abundant life even as we struggle on this earth of sin.
Yeah.
And it's a choice. Not my mom, not my dad, not my teacher, not my preacher can ever make that choice for me. I have to make that choice for myself. And we look at the life of Peter after that, and we see a life of power, even as a humble fisherman, yet now bestowed with tremendous amount of gifts. You know, he was given the spiritual gifts.
Wow.
And he used them so humbly, and because he did, God supplied all of his needs according to his riches and glory. Everything that Peter lacked before, now he has in abundance. That is the miracle of faith. Everything, spiritually and mentally and physically, socially, emotionally, and financially, Peter, the poor fisherman, had everything in abundance, not just for himself and his family. But he had it, and he was able to share it with all those who are poor in the spirit and those who are poor financially. Don't you think God is looking for more like Peter?
Yes.
And today we're going to be examining the life of two men, just interchangeably. I am not going to be talking about all of their life, but I'm going to be sharing about how the Word of God brought them great powers even to defeat their enemies. Our worst enemy is where? Satan is the arch enemy, but our worst enemy is here, is inside. It is that guy inside that make all of the decision we're making. It is that guy inside that make us speak the words we do, think the way we do, respond the way we do, you know, and do the actions that we do. Satan never make us do it. He only invite us to it. So if we can take care of that enemy inside and know how to keep it unto subjection, this is what Paul said. To keep myself unto subjection, lest after I have ministered unto others, I would be the outcast. But how did he do it? How did he do it? You know, it is by prayer, supplication, and by the constant word of God. And from him, we're going to learn something. So let us go first to Psalms chapter 119 and read these verses in the life of David the king, who was just like you and me. Let us see, how did David recover from many of his sins, and how did he become such a powerful, victorious king? Even though his troubles were many. His troubles were many. David married several wives, had many children, and he had serious family dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Serious family dysfunction. Every evil you can think of existed in the family of David. But listen to him as he began to draw ever closer to the heart of God. Even though some of his family were still alive, others died. They died because of what I just say. They disconnected from the God of their father David, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They began to believe in their own feelings, in their own selves. And they began to take the reins of their life in their own hand, rather than leaving it with the Lord. One sister was defiled and hurt very badly. One brother was killed by his own brother. And that brother that killed got killed because he was declaring war against his father David. It couldn't get any worse than that in a family. A family turning on each other. And beside that, David had so many other enemies. Remember, he defeated many other enemies in the Amorites and the Hittites and the Gibeonites and the Philistines. He had lots of other enemies. And he had lots of enemies among the people of Israel, day in and day out, including Saul.
Right.
So he had lots of enemies. How did he survive all of this? How did he defeat his enemies? And how did he defeat his worst enemy? Inside.
Prayer.
Very good.
Prayer.
Earnest, contrite, humble, sincere, faithful prayer.
Yes.
But there is something else that made him so strong. He kept something always burning in his heart, and he kept that thing always in his mind amidst all of his struggles and the struggles of his family and the struggle of his nations, like President Abraham Lincoln. He kept something always in his heart and mind, and that is the word of God.
Right.
Listen to what David said. In verse 97, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Even a struggling sinner, you can still meditate on the law of God. You know, here it is. We know the traffic laws, didn't we? We went and got tested and got our licenses. Supposedly we passed it. Right? Are we keeping the traffic law?
Uh-oh.
No.
You know, most of the time we do. Sometimes we don't.
Right.
We don't blink when we should be blinking.
Right.
We know what red, yellow, and green means. Sometimes I don't stop when it is yellow. I speed up.
We know what 65 miles an hour means.
So we know everything about the traffic
right,
laws.
Right.
And we know there are consequences if we got caught. We do it anyway, right? But here's the question I want to ask you. As a driver, would you get into your car and tell yourself, forget about the traffic laws?
Oh, no.
Or do you still consider the traffic laws?
Consider traffic laws.
Those who decided to get into their vehicles and say, forget about the traffic laws.
Ooh.
It cost them their life.
True.
Their disability. And it cost the life of others.
Mm-hmm.
But those who are still struggling with the traffic law. Oh, I'm running late. And they go through a red light. And then a car. Suddenly they wake up. They have violated the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they thank God that they are safe and others are safe. They always keep the laws in their heart and mind. Because they cannot afford otherwise. Are you getting the message?
Yes.
So as Christians, the devil can succeed to take away the word of God and the laws of God completely out of our hearts so we would not feel guilty. Does that stop us from feeling guilty?
No.
The devil succeed. I'm not going to pray. I'm not going to read the word of God because I don't want to feel guilty. Do you know? The Bible does not make us feel guilty. Never. You're not going to see that word there. The word of God convicts us of what is good and what is evil and what is right for us and show us how to become stronger like Peter and Paul and David, all of these struggling sinners. It is Satan that makes us feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
It is sin that makes us feel guilty. The Holy Spirit convicts us.
Right.
And when we feel convicted, we praise God. When I look at the Ten Commandments and I see my follies and failures, I praise God for His living words of truth. And I come to Him just as I am. So David, even though had lots of struggles, and his family had lots of serious, painful struggle, he said, I meditate upon thy law day and night. You know, I cannot afford going to drive and say, forget about the traffic laws. I'm going to get killed. I'm going to end my life. Beside that, I'm going to end someone else's life. I'm going to hurt somebody else. And if I didn't make it, most probably I'm not going to make it to heaven. Why? Because I have chosen to completely neglect the laws, to take my own life, which is not my own, and to take someone else's life. And that is really the key when it comes to the Word of God. We can neglect it, we can reject it, and we can say, forget it, I will just live my life to do what I want. And I don't care what other people think of me. How many people have made that decision in life? And I'm very grateful that God's grace and mercy was as lasting as it was for Peter and Paul and for David. But the outcome were different. There are those who will be determined, and who will determine they want nothing to do with the saving grace of Jesus. Nothing to do with prayer. Nothing to do with the living word of God. And I met some of them. Here they are, they have cancer and they are dying, and we go there and offer them the mighty love and grace of Jesus, even on deathbed, that they have rejected all of their life. And they say, I'm sorry, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. Thank you. Thank you. Very sad, isn't it?
Very sad.
Why would a human being choose not the love of Jesus, His power, His healing? There is no cost there. It costs us not to. So David is saying here, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day long. I'm very thankful for the traffic laws. Don't you?
Yes.
Boy.
Oh, wow.
Probably many people would have been finished already.
I know.
If we didn't have traffic law.
Wow.
But how many of us love the officers when they stop us and give us a ticket?
Not really.
You know, when we go and violate traffic in and out and everywhere, and then suddenly one day an officer comes, we begin to think, don't we?
Yes.
Especially when the ticket arrive, and now the tickets are pretty hefty, $375
no.
up. And he said, man, how many good things could I have done with $375?
Exactly.
How many crises I would have avoided had I been truly praying and reading the living words of God and trying to apply it in my life.
Yeah.
How many doors would have been completely open if I really believed in the word of God and remained connected to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there is good, there is evil. The choice is ours. And I heard a sermon many years ago that really baffled me at the beginning. And within the first 5-10 minutes, I began to understand it. The title of the sermon was, The Eye That Jesus Could Not Heal. And I pondered my mind. I said, you know, I read the Bible, but did I miss a story there? And I listened to the preacher, and it came very clear. The pride.
Right.
The pride that Jesus would love to heal, but He can't. Because it's our individual decision. Who is the author of pride?
Satan.
Satan. When I say, I don't need God, I am going to do it my own way. I don't believe in His word. His word may be true, but it doesn't really apply to me because my circumstances is different. Therefore, I'm not going to pray because I cannot deceive God. He already knows my heart. And I'm not going to read His word because it tells me something I don't want to do. I still want to do. That is the eye that Jesus could not heal, because it is a power of choice. David made the right choice. When he struggled on his knees. He struggled toward the word of God. He struggled toward the sanctuary. He always went to pray and praise even though he was struggling. What power of mercy and grace is this? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. You know, we have that ultimate enemy inside, and then we have Satan outside, and everybody else who's under control that will always taunt us. They will always hunt after us. They will always try to bring the worst out of us. They will always try to discourage us. They will always try to separate us from Jesus. They will always try to preoccupy us with good and bad gifts, that we may find no need to pray and no time to read his word. David said, thy commandments, as I meditate upon them, constantly made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. How are you handling your enemy inside and outside? You know, we can trust in lawyers, and we can trust in psychiatry, we can trust in everybody else to solve our problems. Or we can trust in the author of our lives, who will use all things for our own blessing. And then he promised to fight all of our enemies on our behalf, because he told his people, the battle is not yours.
Nehemiah.
It is the Lord.
Nehemiah.
Be of good courage. When you pray and trust Jesus, and when you have his word written on the tablets of your heart, just press on. Yes, as a soldier, you're going to be wrestling against sin and Satan within and without. But the battle is not yours. It is the Lord if you make it.
Yes.
But if you make it your own, you made your choice. David made his battle belong to the Lord. The battle belonged to the Lord. He said, it is your word, it is your commandment that really made me wiser than my enemy. How does that really work? You know, you have your family, you have your co-workers, you have your employer, you have your classmates, your teachers, you have your neighbors. Everybody communicates with you every day. Here it is. Everything that you hear and everything that you see is going through your hard drive. And it's affecting your feelings. Are you interpreting everything you see and everything you hear by the word of God?
Mm.
Or are you interpreting all of these events by your own understanding?
Mm.
What saved David, that he always interpreted every success, every failure, everything he hears from everybody, every events unfold through the living words of God. That's what made him wiser than his enemies. When I listen to people, there is only one goal in my mind, my salvation and theirs. And then I listen. And you know, at times they don't know that. When I see that what they are saying and how they are saying, and when I see clearly that the enemy is trying to get hold of their own heart, I become distressed in my heart. And I get into prayer. There are some times when I answer people by the word of God, that sometimes I remain silent, my silence being prayer for them. And it's not easy for someone to come and entice me with things of this world. It's not easy. It was much easier before. Today, when people keep even invite me in all the right ways, I always take time to pray. Even if they ask me if I would come and share the word of God with them wherever they are, I want to make sure it is Jesus that sends me.
Mm.
It is not me. Yeah, I think I have a great knowledge. Yeah, I think I'm going to go and impress people. That is the eye that Jesus cannot heal. Okay? So, when you interpret all the events of life, all of your communication through the living word of God, the Holy Spirit will give you the understanding to know how to respond to it. And that's what baffles your enemy. that defeats the enemy inside and defeat any enemy outside. Because at that time, the Spirit of God takes over. There are battles we cannot see that God sees. We're only permitted to see the battles of our own, to see if we can understand it through the eyes of Jesus, through the word of Jesus, and to know if we desire, here it is, if we desire to respond to it through the word of Jesus. If we have such a desire and we express that desire through our struggle to the Lord Jesus, guess who is going to be the mighty warrior?
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ. And if you read the Bible, that's what happened to all of God's people. David here made it so clear that the commandments of God and the word of God made him wiser than all of his enemy. More than that, I have more understanding than all of my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. You know, I taught on high school level, and I taught on evolution. And I have met other science teachers who taught on evolutions. Almost in every class where that issue comes, there are a variety of students. What is so sad that I must say that most of the teachers are atheists who teach on evolutions that I met. I pray that is not true in the whole country and the whole world. But what I have found in the classroom, there are students who are truly Christians, and there are students who are right in the middle. Family are Christians, they are not committed, and there are those who love to call themselves atheists. And I sat down in one of the classes, and I know some of the kids who are Christians who go to church. I watched their face as the teacher was trying to say that we just happened. Using science to just prove that we just happened and maybe we came from other creatures. And I looked at the Christian kids and I looked at their face to see if there's any change. And they're just looking, and I can see a look of empathy on their own face toward their teacher. And then the teacher will give the chance for people to express their opinion. The young kids who love to be called atheists went on, and you know, they did not make any sense.
Of course not.
And the teacher liked that. And the guys in between were kind of quiet. They did not want to show which side they will be on. But then I listened to two, a female and a male from a Christian faith. And one of them told the teacher, "Did you forget to tell us that this is a theory?"
Wow.
He said, "Well, it is." And the student asked the teacher, "What's the definition of a theory?"
Whoa. Wow.
It's a hypothesis, non-proven fact.
Uh-huh.
I said, "I don't believe that we came from that. And this theory is completely unproven." You know, the student used science to tell the teacher, "What you're saying is not true." And you know, it angered some of the kids on the other side.
Uh-oh.
And then another young man on the Christian side told the teacher, "You know, we get knowledge, but we are to decide whether this knowledge is real or not." And the student said that simply. He said, "You know, I know who got me.
Ooh.
My mom and my dad, and they are not monkeys." Said, "That I know."
Wow.
And there is no article whatsoever in science.
Wow.
To say that throughout any generation, an ape gave birth to a human being. None.
Wow.
And he spoke these words very quietly. That's what the Bible is saying. That's what David is saying. I have more understanding than all my teacher, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Did you see that? Not because someone have a title. They know right and wrong better than we do. If we read the word of God and if we have the Spirit of God in our heart, Jesus said, he will guide you unto all truth and show you the way. We will not be easily beguiled or deceived. We become beguiled and deceived, you know when? And it will happen all the time. When we don't pray, when we don't study the word of God, and when there is a vacuum in our heart, Satan will come and fill that vacuum. And you will be so confused. And I've seen it happening to adult Christians and young Christians. They disconnect from the vine, and then they hear something, and suddenly their whole world is upside down. Why? Where's your anchor? David said, in all of my struggle with my own sins and the sins of my family, I became wiser than my enemies, and I became wiser than my teachers because of the commandments of God, the testimonies of God, and the word of God. And verse 100, I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. You know, by the way, do you know that many teachers and professors fail in their lives? They may have the titles and the PhDs, but they don't know how to hold a relationship. They don't know how to raise a family. They don't know how to make wise choices. You know, look at, if you have the internet, just go ahead and type rate of suicide and read the statistics. See who's on the top. Highly educated people. Highly educated people on the top of the chain. Why is that? David is telling us that. If we have Jesus in our heart, if we have connected with the power of prayer, and if the word of God is written in our heart, we will be wiser than that. Right. We are not going to be so depressed, even though we have money, even though we have palaces, even though we have great careers, yet there is still something missing down deep in the heart. David is saying he's even wiser than that, because he keep the precepts of life in his heart. Verse 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep thy word. You know, the Bible said that evil communication corrupt the best of manners. And the word of God in Psalm chapter 1 said, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sit in the seats of sinners. If we decide that my longing and my need will be satisfied with non-believers and with the activities of non-believers, you're going to be surprised about some decision you're going to make to find you standing alone and to find you stabbed in the back because you made a choice you know is not good. The word of life and the word of God applied protect us from our enemies. But if we have given ungodly men and women access to our personal life, guess what's going to happen? We're going to get hurt. But you know, if that is one of the ways God intended to save us from ourselves, I pray that we heed that counsel. I don't know what else needs to be happening. Many people lose part of their bodies before they get the message. So when you read the word of God, believe it and apply it correctly, it helps you prevent lots of crises. More than that, it gives you the true joy to live a prosperous, victorious life even as a struggling sinner. And that's what David is saying here. He said, you know, I decided not to join the evildoers who don't believe on your holy name, because I really trusted that your words are the words of life. Why is that? Because he had his own shares of troubles before. And he learned from his own mistakes as well. Okay? So he gave us more power into the wisdom of God's word. Verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgment, for thou hast taught me. And David learned the hard way and learned the heavenly way. He was a king as he was a father, as he was an uncle, and as he was a prophet. He said, the only way my family survived, the rest of the family survived, and the only way Judah and Israel survived, even though we had our setbacks, because I, as a king, as a ruler, as the head of the household, the head of the family of God, and as a prophet, kept it in my mind that in all of my decision of judgment, I'm going to keep the words of God in my heart. See? That's how he hears things, and that's how he responds to things, by the words of God's own knowledge and wisdom. Are we doing that? If we do that, every blessing that we've heard will be our own. Verse 103, how sweet are the words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, and that is what I'm trying to grow into. The word of God convicts us of sin, of righteousness, of judgment. Most Christians dread to read the word of God. And I'm saying most Christians, because they fear to confront themselves and see it the way it is, and they'd rather prefer to live in complete denial and exile of soul and experience all of the ups and downs and the horrible pain and suffering of sin, rather than saying, Lord, your word is true even when I am a liar. Your words is life.
Yes.
To pull me out of my deathly state.
Yes.
David was a sinner. And he looked at the word of God. And he was convicted. And if you read Psalms 51. He's expressing that conviction in a wonderful, the most open, complete, contrite, humble, saving way.
Yes.
Whenever you feel down because of sin, just read Psalms 51. Read every word and believe it in your heart. And watch the power of God changing and transforming you. And watch the Holy Spirit fighting for you, in you, and through you unto others. Here, David is manly clearly. He said, your word is so sweet. And you know, another prophet, Jeremiah, said that. He said, Lord, I have found thy word, and I ate it. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. It's the living words of truth. So eventually, the word of God, slowly but surely, read every day, believed upon every day, exercised every day, will eventually become as sweet as honey. And verse 104, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. See, when you have the word of God in your heart, when you hear everybody and see everybody and hear every event through the word of God, God will give you the right understanding of what is good, what is evil, what is right, and what is wrong. And then you will decide to hate evil. You know, when I watch the news and I see all of this murder and killing and violence, my heart is very sick. But if you listen to the newscaster, they are trying to tell you whom to blame. And they are trying to tell you whom to vote for. Mm-hmm. And they are trying to tell you, support this in this cause. Mm-hmm. If you listen to them, you're going to be in trouble. If you listen to all things through the eyes of Jesus, and listen to all things through the words of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will give you the true and right understanding to know who is behind all things, and how to make the right decisions. I was teaching last Wednesday in Redwood Chapel. And if you have the time, I think we have two more weeks. It's a very deep issue regarding the issues of mercy and compassion. It goes so deep. And to the point that the author was saying, you know, we have the conservative Christians and we have the liberal Christians. And I made it clear to the people in Bible study. I said, I want to make it clear so you can take it out of your mind. I'm going to be focused only on the Word of God because I am neither a Republican nor a Democrat. But I do vote on issues. And I do vote based on prayer and the Word of God on what I believe to be best to serve God's people. But we have that fight in the church today. We have all of this worldly philosophy that is controlling the heart and mind in Christians. Rather than thinking like David and like Paul and Peter, what is good and what is right in the eyes of God? That's what keeps us and our families safe and secure from all alarm. Because here it is. If you make a decision based on worldly philosophy, the outcomes are yours and your family's. But if you make your decision based in truth upon the living words of God and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, even if all things went wrong, you made the right choice and decision, it shall be well with you and your family. That was the promise of God Almighty to the people of Israel in all and to the church in the New Testament. That is the key. And the last verse I'm going to cover today is verse 105. Thy word
yes.
is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Yes.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I want to encourage you and challenge you today. You know, once the service is over and once you enter the kitchen, you will enter into lots of conversation. And when you go home, there are going to be lots of questions and lots of distresses and lots of problems that you will have to solve every day. Ask yourself the question, what does the Word of God say about that? First question, what does the living Word of God say about that? If you can't remember, pray and see if the Lord will direct you to somebody else who's connected to Jesus to help you with it. But don't become spiritually lazy. Pray and ask the Lord to guide you by His Word. What did His Word say about that issue, that problem, that crisis? And how will Jesus lead you through it or out of it? Didn't He say that? Fear thou not. That is when we trust Him. For I am with thee. Be not dismayed, even when you go through those erroneous decisions, even when you go through humiliation. Said, be not dismayed, for I am still your God as long as you make me. I will strengthen you out of it. I will help you through it. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And He didn't stop there. Said, and all them that shall rise up against you shall be incensed and confounded, for I am the Lord thy God, thy Savior. Are we armed today? The gift of prayer and the gift of His living words are the two most powerful tools to fight every battle from the inside out against all the hosts of the enemy and prevail through faith and trust in Jesus' name. I'm going to continue that topic next week. May the Lord equip us today, encourage us today, and may the Holy Spirit strengthen and guide us to see all things, to hear all things through His own voice, through His own living word. And when we experience the victory, may we continue on that road and may we pass these tools of victory to as many people as we can. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? Our holy God and heavenly Father, we are embattled, Lord. We are embattled against our own sins and errors, against the sins of the world, against Satan. Lord Jesus Christ, you have called us and became our God, our High Priest, our Savior and Redeemer, the Almighty God and Defender for us. You have become the bread and the water of life daily. You have become our physician and healer. We crown you today and every day, Lord, over our hearts and mind and body and soul. Lord, over our lives and our families, the church and the world. May your Holy Spirit never depart from our heart as he guides us daily into prayer and into the understanding and the reading of your blessed words of life. May he guide us unto all truth to see all events through your living words and through your eyes. And may you grant us your victory every day of our lives. And through us, Lord, may you bless great many others on this word through the same gift of your love. In Jesus' name, amen.